proudly presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. It's the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Thank you so much for all the listeners, the thousands of listeners. We appreciate the growth of the podcast. Those of you who tune in on Podbean, Google Play, iTunes, wherever you are, and on JoeBucksFan.com, the podcast posts first every Tuesday and Thursday. We appreciate it. Want to save money on a Cadillac? Make sure it's backed by Morse. At Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, right now, not only can you lease a 2018 ATS Coupe for just $349 a month, zero down, if you find a lower price on a new Cadillac, they will match it or refund you $500. That's the Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa Price Protection Promise. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or visit EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. You can get all the details there, and you can also visit EdMorse.com/promise. for complete details on the price protection promise. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, just west of Causeway Boulevard, right there, it's clearance time. Save up to $13,000 on remaining 2017 Cadillacs, and for a limited time only, get 0% for 72 months on the powerful Cadillac Escalade. Plus, you get free car washes for life. At Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon on Causeway Boulevard, visit EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com for all the details. Great pre-owned selection, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. We appreciate their support, and here's Ira.
Yeah, yeah.
Happy Free Agency Thursday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, here with the sage of Tampa Bay sports. Lee DeCamper is back from Las Vegas, and we are live recording late at night here, Ira, at Hooters in Port Richey. And you are dazzling as always. Ira, how are you, man?
Well, can't believe I ordered a lemonade. I think I need a stiff drink at this point. We're 6 hours into free agency. Lee, obviously the Bucks are changing their strategy. They used to pounce on guys early, and now I can only suspect that they're biding their time, and they're going to be more active maybe next week.
Boy, the Bucks still don't have a pass rush. They still have Ryan Smith as starting corner. What I find is funny now, you know, the Bucks are, I'm sure they're proud of the guys they signed. They're going to stop the run. Well, that just feeds right into everybody's hands. That's what offenses want the Bucks to do. They want to pass the ball. No pass rush in Ryan Smith. But here, Ira, this is just another example I'm going to give you of your international fame. A few weeks ago, I mentioned to you that there was a commenter on iTunes from Fort Wayne, not a Bucks fan at all, is hooked on this podcast because he heard you on Chris LaRusso, Sirius XM Radio, and as a result, he's like a huge fan of yours. Well, I'm in Vegas, and I always stay at Aria. I always stay there twice a year. So I get to know an acquaintance.
A little shameless plug for the Vegas hotel there, is but you got
of course.
That? A little shameless.
And it's a posh resort, 5-star. At any rate, I got to know this one bartender. He's a huge football fan. So whenever I go there, that guy talks football for 3 hours, if I can hang in there for 3 hours. And at any rate, the other night I was there, and he introduced me to the woman that ran the sports book and the number two guy that runs the sports book, who happens to be a Bucks fan. You know, he introduced me as, hey, he's a Bucks beat reporter. The guy looks at me and goes, Tampa, huh? You know a sports writer there by the name of Ira? Of course I know Ira. He goes, oh, I'm a huge sports radio guy. I hear him all the time. He's great.
You know, I don't know what's going on. I was over at one Buck place earlier this week, Steve, true story. And one of the Buck employees said, hey, I'm surprised you can lift your hand over your shoulder, Ira, from patting yourself on the back so much in these podcasts. Now, that tells you two things. One, they're all listening to our podcast, gentlemen, which we know that's verification. And two, I don't think we need to be ashamed of talking ourselves up.
Well, you hear your fans in the background, Ira? They're singing, they're clapping. The Hooters girls want you, Ira.
Oh, man, that's better than the guy from Vegas over there. Steve, let me start you off on a fresh note. Last week, I said, Buck fans, don't expect home runs, expect doubles. As we stand right here, 6 hours into free agency, we got a couple of bunt singles.
I was going to say intentional walks.
Swinging bunts over there, Steve.
Very well played, Ira. Very well played. Look, a couple of things. First of all, we appreciate everybody listening on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. Those great fans of ours who subscribe, they get a free alert to their phone when the podcast posts. And, of course, you can always listen right on JoeBucksFan.com. Ira's firing away every Tuesday and Thursday. Very interesting. I can't wait to hear after the podcast who said that to you, Ira. But that's fine. Anyway, we're going to go one at a time here. And the first name in the books, in the bag, is a backup defensive tackle, but a guy who sort of almost played starter snaps for Philly a four-year veteran. He's got two career sacks, Ira. Two more than you. Bo Allen.
You're going in alphabetical order. A for Allen. Here we go.
The Bucs are now paying him $5 million a year. He comes in here as a young free agent. Obviously, he's gonna start. You know how this goes. And this is a big signing. What do we got here?
Lee, sounds like maybe Akeem Spence, who and maybe even a weaker pass rusher than Akeem Spence. I'll go with that. He's a big body, Lee. He's a big body. We've talked in the past how Mike Smith, at least during his Jacksonville days, liked those big defensive tackles. This guy fits that kind of mold. The Eagles are overstocked at defensive line. I think the guy's an okay player. I'd be surprised, Lee, and I believe, I don't like to speak for you, DeKemper, I would be surprised if he ends up being a better player than Clinton McDonald. I'd be surprised.
You could argue McDonald's just as good. You can make that argument.
I'd be surprised.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is the end of Clinton McDonald. It smells that way. I'd still keep him. You know, and I heard through an NFL source this afternoon, and we're taping this on Wednesday evening. This afternoon I heard from an NFL source that Detroit wanted this guy bad, speaking of Akeem Spence. And allegedly Detroit offered him more money. My guess is he's getting more snaps here. But, yeah, it smells like the end of Clinton McDonald. But, you know, I don't know how they're going to fix the pass rush. I mean, pretty much any legitimate option's gone now.
He's a run stuffer.
He's a run stuffer.
And they weren't very good against the run last year.
True,
but
my point is, Alex McDonald got to the quarterback last year. Yeah. You might want to keep the guy because, I mean, goodness gracious, they don't have anything off the edge.
Yeah, he doesn't address their main defensive priority. He doesn't.
No, and it's an interesting signing, Ira, in the sense that this guy's a pure run stuffer, which is no slight on him. That's his job.
No, not at all.
He's 6'6", 320, big body.
First and second down guy,
and
right?
He's in a big body that's in better shape than Swaggy Baker and presumably more interested. He's only 26 years old. But this guy comes in, and we have Will Golston still on the roster as of now, who's also a pure run stuffer. That's his game. That's
he's
why
also going to be on the left side.
That's why he was paid $7 million. And this guy, Bo Allen's getting $5 million. Okay, so we're going to be better against the run, most likely. But that's not really the issue. We watched this Buccaneers team, Ira, be number one in the league against the run back in 2012. They were also number 32 against the pass, in a large part because they were number one against the run. And it was a horrible secondary and... they didn't have a winning record.
You know what's interesting about that, Lee? Tell me if you agree with this. But I noticed there were a lot of games last year, and we know about the Bucs' problems on third down as opposed to the year before. Mm-hmm. They went from first to last. That's hard to do. Very hard to do.
And keep your job, by the way.
Lee, and keep your job. Lee, one thing I noticed is a lot of the third down problems, a lot of them, well, when it was third and seven. It wasn't a problem on third and two. It was the third and seven they couldn't stop. So even if you ramp up your run defense and it's third and seven, you haven't addressed the problem. Now, having said that, Lee, this was not a very good year for edge rushers in free agency. And
obviously,
I don't think it's a very good year for edge rushers in the draft. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, you're right. And also, you know, again, it's an anomaly when a rookie makes an impact. As a pass rusher.
And your man Julius Peppers went back to Carolina.
Exactly. And by the way, there's people out there, oh, Julius Peppers said he wasn't going anywhere. Someone find that quote for me. Someone find that quote from a direct, when I say by direct quote, if people don't know, the words coming out of his mouth that he was not going to go anywhere else. His agent inferred that in an interview about 2 months ago. Julius Peppers never said that. If he did, there's no audio of it. There's no video of it. There is no documentation on the internet.
That's what agents do.
Well, of course, yeah.
There's nobody out there, Lee. There's not a lot of guys out there.
Which highlights the swing and miss on Robert Quinn and Michael Bennett.
And Calais Campbell a year
ago.
Well,
even more so, yeah. Calais Campbell. But, you know, you had three chances in 2 years to shore up an edge rush. You blew it. Sorry, you blew it. You swung and missed. You blew it. And there's no options out there, so now you painted yourself in the corner.
Now you're praying for Chubb to be there at 7. If he's still there at 5, you're going to be tempted to move up. I think that would be a disastrous move because we're not talking about Reggie White over here. And it would
Wait a minute. Whoa. a disastrous move to trade up a few spots for Chubb? Have you lost your mind?
Have you lost your mind? Do you know what it costs to go from 7 to 4? It might cost you next year's number one.
Are those guys going to be around?
Not from 7 to 4, Ira.
It's
not
a
from
big
7
move.
To 4.
Yeah, that's the Jimmy Johnson chart, baby.
Well, here's the catch. And I don't disagree with what you're saying, Ira. But are, you know, do Dwight and Cutter really care about the next administration's draft picks? Should they?
Well, I mean, the Glazers would weigh in on a move like that.
I'm not saying that that's going to happen, Ira, but. Right. You know, I don't. It's not going to cost a one to go from 7 to 4, but it might cost you a second round pick. I'm not saying they do it, but let's jump to number two here, Ira. The Buccaneers have, according to the reports we've got, have signed a defensive end. Very exciting, Ira. The guy had 2.5 sacks last year. That's a Corvette pass rusher for this team. You know, a Will Clark, notwithstanding, and his 2.5 sacks,
as opposed to a Pinto.
I'm going to stop you right now.
No. They signed Mitch Unrein.
24 hours ago, you never heard of the guy. I'm stopping you right now.
I've heard of the guy before, but that doesn't mean much.
And the Kemper still can't spell his name as we speak.
You heard of the guy because he cleaned off your table one day?
No, I remember him back with the Broncos when the Broncos were pretty good. But still, I don't even know if I'm saying his name correctly, which is really all you need to know. But this guy, Ira, 30 years old. He's a depth signing. Came into the league in 2011. They're going to give him $4 million to come off the edge. 2.5 sacks last year for the Bears. That was his career high. So this is nothing special.
Just a guy. I had a better voice. I can sing.
Hey, at least
just a guy.
Well, you know, Will Golson had a goose egg of a sack last year. So,
Ira, before we go deeper, I guess we don't even need to go anywhere with this guy.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go to the next guy because there's another.
Well, do you think this spells the end for Robert Ayers? The Bucks.
It probably hastens his departure, but
really,
if they haven't cut him by now, Lee, maybe they're not cutting him. Maybe they're not cutting him.
I'm not saying Robert Ayers is an all-pro.
He's a debatable guy. He's a debatable guy.
When he's on the field, he does okay. I mean, he didn't get much sacks last year, but he did hell of a lot more than Golston, Swaggy Baker. But Tom Bassinger, the Times, who and I love Tom, but sometimes I think he's the ultimate contrarian. He checks Twitter licks his finger and tests the wind, and whatever way the wind's blowing, he writes an article the opposite. And that, business-wise, it's not so dumb. but anyway, he waxed poetic about what great player Ayers is. And, you know, Ayers makes an impact, but let's not confuse him with Robert Quinn.
If Ayers was getting the job done, Steve, we wouldn't be screaming about an edge pass rusher. Wouldn't be screaming.
I understand, but he's still there. He's still going to be paid well, and the Bucs still have, I think they have 2 more days to get rid of him and not eat a lot of salary, but I'm not 100% sure. It doesn't matter. This isn't exciting. So let's go to number three, Ira, as we sit here.
Oh, I can't wait for this one.
Late on Wednesday night, and when I saw this, Ira, I don't know if I, I don't know what I did first, wet my pants, vomit, or start laughing. I wasn't really sure. So
I know it's coming. I absolutely know
so
it's coming.
So let's get this, Ira. Only in Tampa do we sign Nick Folk, and he's a total bust. And then we go and we sign the guy who replaced Nick Folk with the Jets, who's okay, but the Jets don't even want him. And now they're actually trying to win the Jets. So what do we got here? We got a kicker.
Lee, the curse of the kicker. It just continues. Look, we knew Murray was in trouble. We knew Murray was going to face at least competition, at the very least.
At least.
And I don't see anybody's picked up Patrick Murray yet.
So they signed this guy, Chandler Catanzaro.
Oh, I know who they signed. to me, he is barely average. Barely average. By the way, until last year, he had a big problem converting extra points. Now, he's got a big leg. He can kick a 57 or a 60-yarder, which Murray struggles on. And I think Murray's downfall is his kickoffs, Lee. Remember, Cutter even mentioned that. When Cutter singles you out for something, that's the first step. And he said his kickoffs just weren't good enough. To me, I think that's much ado about nothing, a little bit. Except the Bucs couldn't cover a couple of kickoffs near the end of the year.
Was that not a factor, you don't think?
In the scheme of things, in the grand scheme of the NFL, you don't see a lot of kickoffs returned for a touchdown.
Not anymore.
Well, we had two against the Bucs, didn't we?
Yeah.
Late in the season, right. Those are the short kickoffs.
Yeah.
I don't know that I trust this guy on the makeable field goals, which I think Murray was very good from like 30 to 50 yards. Murray was very reliable.
Well, compared to what the Bucs have had previously, yes.
I'm not sure this guy's reliable. So before Buck fans, hasten the departure of Patrick Murray, I wouldn't be doing cartwheels over this guy.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good competition, very interesting competition. He spent 2 years in Arizona, and his third year was crap. So he got booted from there, and he lands with...
And he was okay for the Jets.
Lands with the Jets, and he's barely okay, you know, nothing special, and they move on. So, you know, it's he's got experience, but that's about all you can say about him. And he's got that big leg. He did kick the Jets' longest field goal in their history last season.
So there's your big three. There's your big three.
That's your big three, Ira.
A kicker you can't pronounce, and an offensive end that the Kemper can't spell. No, there's your big three.
Let's think about this. November, the Bucs knew they needed the pass rush. And
boy,
what
Lee,
did they
Lee,
do?
Lee won't let this go. He will not
what,
let it
what
go.
What did they do? I mean, you got to be kidding me. I'm almost out of words. It's just this plague on this team that they just ignore this position.
I
take it back. They haven't ignored it. They just don't know how the hell to pick one.
Steve, they still could come up with an EJ Gaines tomorrow or Thursday,
well, that would help.
Friday,
he
Saturday.
Doesn't play defensive end.
It could help. It could help a little
Yeah, they
bit.
Do need a corner. Yeah, because as we speak here, Wednesday evening, there's still no pass rush, and Ryan Smith is still your starting cornerback.
But they got Grimes back. That helps. Well,
that darn helps. Right, that helps. But how much did it help last year with Ryan Smith?
Yeah, and what makes it even more interesting, you had 22.
It could have been worse. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You had 22 sacks last year, 22, which is deplorable. And Clinton McDonald had 5 of them, and he's not on the team now.
And played part time.
Yeah.
And played part time.
Part time. So you got a lot of ground to make up, but forget about sacks for a second. Consistent pass rush is what is you want, and they just don't have it. Now, there are still guys out there, from the best of my knowledge, Alex Okafor, maybe he comes in.
Which I think will happen.
And we'll see. But, Lee went right back to that. You gave him 2 seconds. He went right back to the pass rush.
Well, can you blame him?
No, I can't blame him.
Now, I spoke before I headed over here for this twice-weekly podcast, which we all enjoy doing. I spoke to somebody that we know. He will go unnamed, but I consider him the one of the voices of Buck Nation, a very passionate Buck fan. And I told him that I was heading over to Hooters to do a podcast with you two gentlemen. And what's his mood? Is he pissed? He said, Ira, I can't even see straight. Everybody around the Bucks are getting better, and they're twiddling their thumbs.
Is it Lou?
And I think... I think he speaks for a lot of Buck fans right now. Lee, now things could change. Things could change. But usually the Bucks jump in head first, early, with a couple of targets. And I'm sorry, Bo Allen and the kicker don't meet that standard.
And I got to be fair here. There's two larger issues hovering over one Buck Palace, like a black cloud. One, you know, people seem to forget that free agency is not a draft. You can't say, hey, you over there, you're playing for me. It doesn't work that way. I'm starting to get the sense. I wrote about this the other day on JoeBucksFan.com. Is Jameis losing his charm? Jameis was supposed to be this great recruiter. I don't know. Or do the agents see, well, wait a minute. You got a general manager that's on his last year of his contract. You got a coach who did terrible last year, playing for an organization that's got an itchy trigger finger. Stay away. That could be part of it, too. And it could be the player just doesn't want to play for this team because they've been garbage for the most part since Chucky left. So I don't know if this is an attractive team to play for. I really, for all those factors. And that's the bigger issue. And another cloud
this
is...
This used to be a destination point.
Yeah, glory days, sure. And the other issue is, what's going on with Team Glazer? This really smells to me very much like offseason 2011. The Bucs are coming off a 10-win season. This pool of free agents was supposed to be one of the greatest in NFL history. And what do the Bucs do? They get a friggin' punter. And that's it.
Except they're not coming off a 10-win season.
Yeah,
thank you.
Except we got 5 wins and a cloud of crap.
But this smells to me like there's been some order from above. You guys aren't going crazy in free agency.
I don't think he's crazy here, Steve, except they're not coming off a 10-win season.
Where the hell's Malcolm Butler? That's what I want to know. He's asked, where does he land? He lands with John Robinson.
Very busy.
Where he's got knowledge as well.
Playoff team.
And they've got Mike Vrabel down there.
And they get Deion Lewis. They also got Deion Lewis.
Remember, Vrabel took over Houston.
They got Deion Lewis, correct?
Yeah,
Vrabel's in Houston. That's right.
But they got 2 pick of the litters from the Patriots.
Now, Steve, let me ask you a question. You are my man of reason,
I'm totally unreasonable.
Which is a problem to start
because
with.
I'm as mad as that fan is, but I'm trying to relax and see what the end game looks like, but it's hard not to be
Steve,
mad.
Steve, what about the theory that's being floated, and it's going to be floated, and right now it's only a theory until you debunk it, which I think you will. The theory is we got to save our money. We got our own core players to sign. We got guys coming down the road. Who knows what Winston's going to be making in 3 years? We got to be frugal. We got to be smart. We got to project. What's your answer to that?
Shake up the damn core, because it's a core of losers, or a core that's that's bringing too many losses. So you got to shake something off the tree. I wrote up something today, Ira. Look, Nate Solder, the Patriots left tackle, he went to the Giants, signed for monster money, $16 million a year, something like that. This is a guy, he's turning 30. He's never made a Pro Bowl. He's got a lot of mileage on him. He's played in 16 playoff games.
So you're proving the point that free agents are overpaid.
No, he's not a world beater. My point is Donovan Smith's going to make massive coin, and you've got other guys out there, and you just can't pay everybody. So, you know, get some competition in there. Worry about those good problems of re-signing guys when it happens. You know, Marpet, we love the guy. We all like him. But look, he's been hurt two out of three seasons. Mm-hmm. He gets hurt this year. He's, you know what he is? He's an injury-prone offensive lineman.
Hey, you haven't mentioned, we haven't mentioned Jensen. We have not mentioned.
Yeah, we're going to get to Jensen right now, Ira. But first, you know, Jensen is the Cadillac signing of this year, probably, hopefully.
There's no getting around his bits on.
And of course, as we heard to open the podcast, the great March offers at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon are absolutely stunning, Ira. I think, actually, I was talking with the folks over there today, Ira. I think first week in April, if you got Wednesday, Thursday.
As soon as we get back from the owner's meeting.
Yeah, like April 4th, something like that. That's going to be best to head over
there. You're comparing a free agent to a sleek luxury vehicle? Is that what I understand?
Not a luxury vehicle, a Cadillac, Ira. Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa.com, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon.com. That's where you want to go, as we heard before. So, Ira Lee, we learned that tonight, as we sit here in Hooters, surrounded by Hooters people, we learned that
Jensen's being wined and dined.
Ryan Jensen, Ravens center, who they don't want to pay, can't pay. The Ravens are always in salary cap issues every year. He is being wooed by the Bucs in Tampa. He flew down here and
has another meeting scheduled with another team.
With the Colts. Now, why you would want to go to the Colts, play on turf for a team who you don't know who their quarterback is, with an organization that's been run like worse than the Bucs lately, that's just been crap.
And you got to live in Indianapolis. Bingo.
And you got to live in Indianapolis. Not sure why he'd want to go there. But he's coming here first. And Ira, this is a fascinating move. One, this is the move you called for 3 weeks ago. And two, Jensen is not coming here to be a guard, because he made his bones, he made his money last year as a center.
They call him a center slash guard, Steve.
Well, what's your take?
My take is they're going to sign Jensen. And I think if they don't sign Jensen, I think that's a big loss for the Bucs. They lose on that. They want him. They obviously want him. And if you lose him, and specifically to the Indianapolis Colts, because they made a better offer to Jensen, a guy you sorely need. Sorely. I don't care if he plays center. I don't care if he plays guard. Mm-hmm. You need him. Mm-hmm. You know. Now, look, he's not DeMonte Dawson here. He's not going to Canton. But he's a good player. And he's got versatility. And he plays the interior of the line, and that's your problem. The interior of the line. I believe the Bucs are going to end up getting Jensen. We'll see if I'm wrong. We'll see. But I'm the guy who said 2 weeks ago that's the guy I would ticket. And I also said,
Nelly.
Lee, and I'd kick Marpet back to guard in the process. We'll see. They still stick to their mantra. Five best guys are going to be on the field. Mm-hmm. I'll say this. I still think they need another guard. I mean, if Jensen's going to play center, Marpet kicks back to right guard. What do? You move Sweezy to left guard? What are you doing at that
Combine's
point?
Pretty loaded with guard the first couple of rounds.
Yeah, maybe you draft the guard. Quentin Nelson would fill that left guard spot very nicely, Steve.
I wouldn't draft
Nelson,
but I can see
if you get Jensen and you sign Nelson, I'd be a happy man if I was a Buck fan. Deal with the pass rush the way we can. Go light. Go find that guy in the second round. Go find him. You're good at it. But I think that would really solidify the offensive line.
It would help.
You're not a Quentin Nelson guy. You don't like the man.
Maybe the guy is going to be John Hanna, but I've never seen an offensive guard that can turn around a team. I've never seen one. Never seen one. So, as I stated before, coming back from the combine, I'm going to be up front. I would not do it, but I get the distinct impression that Nelson's there at 7. If they'll pull the trigger. That's my impression.
As bits, you want Nelson at 7 or you want Minka Fitzpatrick?
No.
What do you want?
They don't give me the draft in any cornerback.
Well, We're not talking draft tonight, Ira, right. But I would like to see the Bucs draft two defensive players in the first three. And considering they freaking need a running back because they didn't have a brain in their head and sign one today, then I think one of those three has to be a running back. So that means
guys.
Two defensive players.
Hey, my Dark Horse still out there.
He's still out there,
still
yeah.
Out. your boy Hyde was gobbled up. Gobbled up.
Quickly.
Ah, crazy. Anyway, but Jensen, right? So Jensen, Ira, this is interesting. He's right out of the Jason Light playbook because he's a Division II guy. He's from middle of nowhere, Colorado, where Jason Light gets where he grew up, middle of nowhere, Colorado. Overachiever. He's the what Sweezy is supposed to be, nasty. He's known for just, you know, going the extra mile and being dirty. He takes a lot of pride in it. He's talked about this. I was reading a bunch of articles about him in Baltimore. He even looks the part with the wild red hair and the tattoos and the angry, psychotic ways.
He could end up being a fan favorite.
When I was reading about a little more about him, it made me think, you know what? Sweezy's done. Because this guy is what Sweezy was supposed to be. So if you really thought Sweezy was back, and we 2 weeks ago they were telling Lee up at the combine that Sweezy's still injured.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's not ready to come back.
Red flag.
I think they had to make a decision, and that probably means dumping Sweezy. I don't know what his contract looks like for injury, but I think Jensen or Lee, do you agree that Jensen is 100% a center if he comes here?
Lee, I don't necessarily agree with that. I don't think they're in a hurry to move Marpet back.
No.
I don't think they're in a hurry to do that.
Not at all. I mean, you know, I've talked to people, and I love this line I got from Florio. I love using this line. I've spoken with people with knowledge of the situation several times in the past few weeks. Unless this is an absolute well-coordinated con, I can't imagine they're going to throw in the towel on Marpet at center. I can't imagine this quick. They may, but that just tells me it's a well-coordinated con.
Just because you and I think it's the right move, Steve, I'm not sure they're in a hurry to do that.
Well, the reason why I was told, one person told me, they said, well, of course Marpet was going to struggle, and he explained why. He'd never done it before. It's a new position. But this jumped out at me when this guy said, I don't think you realize how complex it is to play center. And he started breaking down blocking schemes and blocking calls and line calls and things like that.
They think he steadily got better at center.
They thought he had turned the corner or started to turn the corner when he got injured.
Yeah.
And if I recall correctly, did Marpet not infer that with you at the end of the season?
Yes, he did.
Well, I'll throw this out there. Maybe we can have a fun little wager when this is all done, Ira. But in the stuff I was reading about Jensen, he was salivating last year entering the season because he was going to have a chance to win the center job, and that's where he wanted to play.
Okay.
So if he's coming here and he's got options in free agency.
And Marpet will play anywhere.
Just saying, if Jensen wants to play center, if that's his goal and he's got another team that says, we'd love to have you at center, you know, guys want to play the position they want to play.
Well, how embarrassing would that be? If you're basically admitting that. Remember, the weekend he was drafted, Light said he projects as a center.
Yes.
You're basically saying all your research, all your analytics, all your data, all your football acumen was wrong. And, oh, by the way, you basically pissed away a season with Marpet at center.
I understand.
Wow, that'd be embarrassing.
That's got to be a big part of the conversation that's going on between Jensen and the Buck Brain Trust is, hey, where are you going to play me? Where are you going to play me?
Well, that's the number one question.
Yeah. Is center.
Yeah, that's probably number one question. But I think it cuts both ways, Lee, because you could also easily make the argument, well, you pissed away 2 years of Marpet at guard if you're going to move into center.
They didn't have a center then. Evan Smith.
Well, Hawley was great in 2015. They ran the ball left and right, 2,000 yards from scrimmage on the ground. I'm just saying that their evaluation in 2015, it's okay to have it fluid and have the guy be better than you thought at guard. I don't think it's a negative knock on the regime if he goes back to guard.
He's been saying this for years. He projects it as a center, and all of a sudden you're saying all our information, all our football acumen, all our data, all our analytics, I guess we're wrong. Is it, whoa, especially a guy in the final months of his current contract. Especially a guy who can't find a defensive end. Especially a guy who can't find, I mean, it's like it all stacks up. It's like if you're the Glazers and Light basically would be admitting that, as would Cutter, you're like,
If I'm the Bucks, I'm not letting Jensen go to Indianapolis on that flight. I'm not letting that happen.
Well, this goes back to what Lee was saying about Robert Quinn and really the angst and the hate and the bitter, vile feelings of Bucks fans about losing Robert Quinn is, if the Bucks were in the mix for Robert Quinn, you know what that means? It means they watched the film and they said, this guy can help us. We're interested. We want him. So they've by bringing in Jensen, they've looked at the film and said, we want this guy. So if you want him, get him. He's coming in your building.
Ivory, you used a word, a perfect word that to me cements how much the Bucks want the guy. Versatile. Cutter and Light are big on that. Versatile offensive line. They want guys to be interchangeable, be able to play any position.
He's a better Evan Smith. He's a better player. Evan Smith,
Better Evan Smith. That's like,
that's not
Evan
saying
Smith.
A whole lot.
That's like calling you a better Roy Cummings. That's not a compliment.
Well, wasn't Evan Lee? He's unbelievable. Wasn't Evan Smith part of that 2015 when he ran like crazy and did all these things? Wasn't he part of that?
Holly was in there.
Yeah. Well, but Smith played.
Yeah, not much. Not much.
He played.
He was lucky to have a job the way he played the year before.
I was like, I saw him after the game. He was there.
I'm the guy who said they should go get this guy. So go get him.
Well, hopefully it's a done deal tonight. Hopefully we see some sort of dramatic tweet, and then things get interesting on the offensive line. As far as drafting Nelson, I mean, it's nice, but you can't just, like, keep adding offensive pieces left and right when you have the worst defense in the league. Come on.
Well, I told you, if Nelson grades out a lot better than, you know, Davenport at number 7, even though Davenport has – you know, some tantalizing qualities at defensive end. I'm taking Nelson. I'm taking the better player. Lee, I'm taking the better player.
Again, I would not do that, but I'm not the GM.
We'll have some draft podcasts because there's some sentiment that Barkley could slip down. Some sentiment. You never know.
It's become very interesting with all the moves, Iron. We could talk a little bit about that. That's fine. I mean, I always thought it was silly people saying the Browns would take Barkley at number 1. Come on. You got your pick of quarterbacks. You take the quarterback you want at number 1. You don't screw around. It's a quarterback, you know. But they have enough juice in Cleveland to trade up for the number 2 pick if Dave Gettleman and the Giants want to trade it. I mean, they've got picks all over the place. So,
and there's a lot of talk about Buffalo trying to get into the top 5. And, you know, they're not taking Chubb or Barkley. They're taking a quarterback.
But this hasn't broken that well for the Bucks, I think, because they don't need a quarterback. And now... you've got Denver's not going to draft a quarterback. Denver's ahead of the Bucks, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the Jets are ahead of the Bucks.
They could get Nelson because their offensive line is garbage.
Now we don't know what the Giants are going to do.
And I heard just this afternoon on ESPN, Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets for years, he says they're not drafting a quarterback. So,
and the Giants may not draft the quarterback.
And the Giants probably won't,
Barkley.
You would think.
They'll go after Barkley.
I would think so. But Chubb's obviously a wild card in there. The Giants, in case anybody's wondering, Bucks fans, they signed Patrick Omame today to play left guard next to Nate Solder. Now, this guy played pretty well, okay, for Jacksonville last year, and Jason Light dumped him.
Does it bother you guys that some of the Buck guys that hit free agency have not been gobbled up on day one so far?
Shocking. A 5-win team.
Is that a reflection of the personnel that was in the building in 2017, Steve, that nobody has jumped on some of these guys?
It's early. Lee, what do you think?
About how many free agents... the Bucks finished 5-11. Any free agent that's out there that the Bucks didn't want, a 5-11 team didn't want, I'm really shocked they're unemployed.
And who re-signs the other day? Your boy, Bradley McDougal. Are you going to stop talking about that guy, Ispin?
I'm going to start talking about him.
Or he keeps intriguing you.
It's intriguing because he signed for big money. Pete Carroll knows what he's talking about. He filled in a lot last year.
They've revamped that secondary.
Cam Chancellor and
Thomas.
Yeah, he filled in a lot. And they love him out there. And it was funny because I pulled a quote for the story I wrote. It was a quote from late in the season, Pete Carroll talking about watching the Buccaneers film on McDougal and talking about what he showed and his leadership and other stuff. And it's like, meanwhile, this is the only guy who started 16 games at safety for the Bucs in 2016 when they had a good defense. And he's young and they ditched him. They tried to get better. I respect that, but come on.
The Bucs didn't do a good job at developing McDougal because... Steve, you remember about 3 years ago, they were pretty high on him. They said,
Lovie Smith loved the guy.
He's got some Lynch-like qualities.
Just some.
And he looked like a riser. And then he regressed. Boy, that sure sounds like Hargraves at the corner. It's not a good trend if you're a Buck fan.
And that's why, when I mentioned a little earlier, you mentioned Mika Fitzpatrick.
That goes right to the point you've been making a long time about development.
Do not draft a cornerback with these defensive coaches because throwing away a pick. I'll give you another one about a safety. That got away. I mean, how many? My gosh, Lovie Smith. Jim Haslam's homeless consultant couldn't do any worse than he did when it came to personnel. Again, I've met the Aria, the posh Aria Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. And even though I'm on a mini vacation, I have my laptop with me. I'm working, and I'm typing up a story about the personnel moves made under Schiano and under Lovey. The Bucks are still digging out from. Still. I mean, they were so horrid. And as I'm typing this up, I'm watching NFL Network, and in the background is a Redskins game. They're playing the Saints. And guess who makes a pick? And now his name escapes me. He was with the Bucks. He couldn't play for the Bucks. Swearinger. DJ Swearinger.
Swoops in and steals the ball.
Well, I'm typing this story up about all the rotten personnel decisions Lovie Smith made. And DJ Swearinger gets a pick.
Oh, my goodness.
Typing this up, you can make it up.
And that was the year. It was funny. That was the year that Jason Light was very vocal. Put your drink down. I already get a laugh at this one. He was very vocal about how because they had the first pick in the draft, that meant they had the first right on the waiver wire. So they were very excited about that great option of...
I remember that.
First one on the waiver
claim. It was like the eighth round pick or something.
So there you go, Ira. I literally had to pause the podcast because... and I'll edit that out. You were in absolutely... You couldn't believe that this existed. And it did happen. We all remember it. And DJ Swearinger was one of those guys. They claimed him. I think it was from the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know what? It didn't work out, but he's had a good career.
You can't write some of these stories.
You can't make this stuff up. The Buccaneers, I'm telling you, I've said this before, they write the best soap opera in the league.
That's right.
When you consider, I mean, even the whole kicking thing. You know, now they got the Jets kicker, another Jets kicker. I mean, come on. Are they going to sign Pat Leahy next? You know?
But hold on.
There's two more important points here. We're going to keep the podcast tight, Iris, since... Everything could change such a dime.
And nothing
you know?
Could change.
And nothing. Yeah, exactly. Well, we got to be there for the Bo Allen press conference. We got to be there early.
Stop it, Steve.
All right.
Stop.
Now, listen. This is critical. Critical. And I mentioned it before. The Buccaneers, as we sit here now, all the top running backs, for the most part, are not Buccaneers. They found other teams, the free agent running backs. Does this mean the regime believes after further watching film that Peyton Barber can be the number one guy and they'll have Jaquizz Rodgers who they trust. They'll sign a rookie where they can get one and they'll just go from there.
No, the answer is no. The answer is they're going to draft the running back. And I would say it's probably going to be like round three. I'm thinking not round six, not round seven.
They can't wait.
Round two or round three.
Round two, I can see.
And it won't be one unless Barkley's there and then they'll have to look at it. They'll have to look at that. They can't dismiss that out of hand. But, no, they have not decided that Peyton Barber is going to get 20 carries a game. First of all, nobody in this league gets 20 carries a game unless your name's Ezekiel Elliott. There's one guy that gets it. So, Lee, they're going to draft a running back. And you're right, Steve. They whiffed, or they didn't have much interest, or they whiffed on, like, six or seven running backs that were available
in
free agency. And, yeah, they got to go out and draft somebody.
Well, Steve's point about Carlos Hyde. Now, I don't know if he made this point, but I'll make it for him. And I think Steve would agree with me. I sense a trend in the NFL. It's a two-back system, so you don't get your guys beat up so
much. That's
right. New Orleans is a perfect example. I was hoping that the Bucs would try to mirror New Orleans, go out and get this Sonny Michel, Geis, you know, if you want to dream, Barkley, and supplant him with Carlos Hyde or this McKinnon. McKinnon looked to me like the replacement. Jerick McKinnon looked like the replacement for
Sims.
For Charles
your
Sims.
Your guy Sims.
Yeah. Well, at least McKinnon can run the ball.
By the way, nobody picked up Sims either. I'm speechless.
Shocking.
I'm absolutely speechless.
Not yet.
So it just.
So you agree with me? They got to draft the back.
Not only that, I don't know what the hell is going on at One Buck Place. I've got a saying. I've said this before. I'll say it again. If fans sitting on the couch could see it, and we can see it. Why can't the powers that be at One Buck see it? You know, I'm not going to use this cliche, they don't have a plan. To me, that means, like, they're out drinking every night and they show up, oh, it's free agency, what are we going to do, boys? No, they've got a plan. I just don't know what the hell it is.
Steve wanted Hyde. Was there one guy out of that group that you had a hankering for?
Well, McKinnon was a good one, too, because, number one, he's versatile. Number two, he can run. And I thought he did a guff with the Vikings to show that, okay, you bring in a rookie running back, and this guy can, you know, share the load a little bit. Again, like Kamara and what's-his-face, the guy from Alabama.
Ingram.
Yeah, Ingram, okay. Mark Ingram. I just don't know what's going on over there. Hello?
Steve,
why would you go to the draft? Why would you even want to go into
the draft? Because rookie running backs make an instant impact.
But why would you want to go into the draft literally hoping to get the guy you want? That's hope.
You want young legs.
What's Peyton Barber? That's not
he's
young
not
legs.
Gail Sayers. Isn't that what Cutter said?
But this guy's going to get as many carries. Whoever you bring in is going to get as many carries as Peyton Barber. They want young legs.
Well, here's the thing. You might not get the guy.
Yeah, here's the thing you got to remember about Peyton Barber. The head coach last year, when he was asked why isn't he getting more carries, when Doug Martin was shatting all over the field and everybody could see it but Cutter, did not Cutter say he's not Gail Sayers? That wasn't exactly a strong defense of Peyton Barber.
Well, I got news for you, DeCamper. He's not Gail Sayers.
No, but he sure as hell isn't Doug Martin either.
Now, listen, I'm going to throw this out, and I'm being serious. I swear to you, I am being serious. This is not a joke. This is not a test. Ira.
If you bring up Baker again, I don't want to hear his name on this podcast.
No.
This is my podcast, and I am banning Swaggy Baker for a month. I don't want to hear about it.
A month.
Do you think there's any chance, and I'm not kidding around, that Doug Martin returns to this team on a veteran minimum contract?
Oh, my goodness.
I would not shock.
They can't alienate the fan base to that extent.
You mean they're not alienating
already?
People
are already pissed off.
Yeah.
They'll be pitchforks at one buck place.
I don't think Steve's crazy.
Andre, the security guy, would have to hire extra guys. Come on. How can you say that with a straight?
They bring him in at a base rock bottom basement deal?
First as much of all, as Cutter. I thought Chucky's all over Doug Martin. Chucky. Where is he?
He's not signed.
Well, we got time. Chucky's got
Steve,
time.
You said a lot of crazy things on this podcast. That might go to number one. You said it with a straight face. I thought you were kidding.
Well,
Doug Martin.
I wouldn't do it. Everybody knows that. But look what these guys have done. And you get the guy rock bottom. It would sort of fit their mantra because
rock bottom matches his production.
Exactly.
Ira, think about this. We know that Cutter is obsessed with pass blocking from the running back position, which is understandable. But he didn't play.
Whoa. Doug Martin's Walter Payton all of a sudden as a blocker?
Well,
come on.
If you listen to them at one buck. But all right, we'll get off that. I didn't want to freak people out too much.
Doug Martin.
What Steve was saying actually crossed my mind this morning.
Javier just dropped his wine glass.
I don't blame him.
Port and Richie Lou just drove off the side of the road. Well, what are you trying to do?
And I'm not saying
cause
he should.
Accidents? What's the matter with
let
you?
Lee Fields at the Bucks very much might draft Quentin Nelson from all his conversations and the vibes and all this stuff. Okay, so if that happens, and you go ahead and you draft a running back in the second round to get your guy, how the hell do you do that to the 32nd ranked defense? You know, if you do that, you literally almost have no chance of making the playoffs with no improvement on the pass rush and Gerald McCoy getting a year older and no additions. And
well, you're assuming they absolutely can't get Chubb. No chance to get Chubb in round one. They're not drafting a running back in round one unless his name's Barkley.
Or they trade down.
Or they trade down. So, Steve, you know, in the words of Jason Light, and Buck fans don't want to hear it, but he said it a year or two ago, Lee, you can't do everything at once. And in this case, if the
how many
pass
years
rush
is you
going to
say that?
That's the problem.
What is he on, the 7-year pass rush plan?
Well, if it doesn't work out for Jason Light, that's going to be on his Buck epitaph.
Well,
couldn't produce an edge rusher.
I'll say this, I know what Steve's talking about. Fundamentally, he's correct. I've actually advocated for what Steve is arguing against. Why? For whatever reason, they won't get a friggin' pass rush. So with no pass rush and a 32, it's number 32 defense, you know how you combat that? You play keep away. The Bucs offense, very good in passing.
That's where Quentin Nelson fits in.
And drafting a running back. You play keep away. If you got a rotten defense, this is how sad things are, one buck. Generally, when you talk about keep away, you're talking about keep away from the opposing defense. You're playing keep away against your own defense. That's how ridiculous this is.
All right, Ira, last question for you as we wrap up the podcast. But you were at one buck this week.
I was.
You were there for the Mike Evans and Cameron Brate Love Festival.
I asked the head coach a couple of questions. I addressed him as Mr. Cutter. I gave him his props.
So what was your vibe there looking Jason Light, Dirk Cutter in the eye, and what's your whole take on that situation?
Well, I walked away pissed off because when the thing ended, they made Brate, you know, and Evans available off the podium. Everybody gathered around.
Sidebar.
And the next thing I know, there goes Cutter and Light through the back door back up to their lair over there. I can't get my mitts on them.
Lair.
So I go up to the PR guy. Hey, can you? He goes, hey, you need anything? I go, yeah, I need Light and Cutter back down here for some off-the-podium questions. I haven't talked to Cutter since, the day after the season ended.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time. Now, you saw him in Indy.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't ask any questions about free agency because the press conference was ostensibly for Evans and Brate.
Yeah, it's a dog and pony show.
Yeah. So I couldn't get any questions, and I was upset about that. Look, Evans is an interesting case, Lee, because on this podcast, I have called him the Bucks' best player. But I'm also going to tell you right now, Lee, and you might not agree, I think he can do better. I think he can do better.
He has virtually no yak. I agree with you.
He's certainly not Antonio Brown. He's not Julio Jones. And I think he's
the next
below
level.
Odell Beckham. I think when Beckham's healthy, Beckham's better so far. So part of it is they don't throw deep to Evans. I think that's a mistake. I think so what that he's not a burner? He'll out-muscle guys for the ball. Give him a chance. So as good as Evans has been, and he's been very good, Light said he might have overperformed as the number 7 pick. I think he's performed right about as scheduled, which is very good.
Well, I bet you, Mike, being the guy he is, I bet if you asked him, could you do better, he would agree.
Lee, I think he can do better.
He has, and this is not, Mike's one of the top wide receivers. You can make an argument he's number 4 wide receiver. I think I'd be
fair. Nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. But he has virtually no yards after catch. Virtually none. Now, you want to blame it on Jameis? Okay. But, I mean, virtually none. When Adam Humphries and Charles Sims leads your team in yak, and you got a guy like Evans, he can improve
maybe
on that.
You put him maybe in the same category as an E.J. Green. I think pretty close.
AJ Green. That's fair.
Bengals, big target.
That's fair.
Very consistent.
Yeah.
That's good company.
That's a very fair analogy, yeah.
Any other vibes there? You pick anything up? Jason Light's
great, great got off the great line about the sea bass. Jason Light said about the sea bass at 7. Of course, Light, what a shameless plug for his favorite restaurant, 717 South, which used to be Joe Madden's stomping grounds until Madden opened his own club across the street in South Tampa.
Didn't they open a takeout joint in Port Richey that you go to?
Never mind that. That's Guido's, and it's outstanding. The vibe was that Cutter and Light couldn't wait to get back up in that room and break down a little more film on Bo Allen. That's what happened. We are waiting for some real news out of One Buck Place, gentlemen. Real news.
I'm not anti-Bo Allen at all, but
I think Jensen would be real news.
Say it ain't Bo.
How does Light sit in a meeting with the Glazers and like, Jason, this is year what? That we haven't addressed the defense. I should take it back. They addressed it when they drafted Noah Spence and signed Robert Ayers. But it's like, if you're Jason White, how do you explain to the Glazers to their face that this is yet another offseason where we crapped in our pants and finding a bad
guys,
rush?
I'm going to ask you the $49 question. I'm going to ask it. It's a tough one. This reluctance, as of now, to spend heavily in free agency despite a lot of money available, is there any way you can say at least part of that is not coming from ownership?
Is not coming from ownership?
Can you make the case this is coming only from Jason Light?
No, it smells like ownership. It smells like ownership.
Jason Light wants to spend money. Steve, that's his M.O. He wants to spend money.
Well, he wants to save his job. Guys. If the Bucks lose again, if the Glazers have already come to the conclusion that, you know what, you lose again, we're cleaning the house. I hate to speak for the Glazers, but if you're the Glazers, if you're on the edge of pulling the trigger like that, do you want those guys who may be out the door spending more money?
And maybe the next regime doesn't like the players you bring in.
And you have a Lovie Smith situation all over again.
It makes sense, Steve.
It's a tangled web, Ira. Very tangled web. Look, I wrote that Jason Light came into this team and has been happy to say for years that he's into the Bruce Arians philosophy. No risk it, no biscuit, bold moves. Well, we've gotten a lot of bold moves. We don't have one yet.
Now he seems a bit timid.
So it certainly seems like ownership gave him a budget and an edict that, hey, you don't have an open checkbook like you had before. And I can't blame them since how bad he's been in free agency, but it's early. And, you know, they make a budget and a plan, but we don't know what guys he's missed on. Tyrann Mathieu is still out there, and Light's got connections with him. Brenton Buckner knows the guy. We remember when Brenton Buckner was hired, the whole defense of
the secondary, the Cardinals just went crazy on Twitter.
Yeah, they went crazy.
Future defensive coordinator, this guy's great, et cetera,
so,
et cetera.
I don't know. It's not over yet, Ira.
It's not. As we speak now, it's not going to be an easy job on the ticket-selling campaign. It's not going to be easy. Depending on, maybe you make a sexy pick in the draft. Maybe.
We'll see. We're not worried about ticket sales now, Ira.
Speaking of sexy pick, what do you say, DeKemper?
Ira, speaking of sexy pick, your wings are here, so we're out of here.